This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 348 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I am your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are continuing on with Mel Gibson Month. Now, this is week two of a five-week month full of Mel Gibson movies. These are all the standalones, the no sequels, the one-offs. And this week, we're doing a little movie from 2000, a big movie from 2000 called The Patriot. Now, if you heard our last episode, you will know this was a first-time watch for me. And actually, Alex, a first-time watch for you as well. Had you at least heard of this movie and just never saw it?
I heard of it. I seen the posters of him running with the flag. So like, it's just, you know, again, it's a war movie. I don't do war movies. So I know some of the war movies' names and characters in them. I just don't sit down and watch them. So,
well, yeah. That's the good thing about this podcast. You've actually probably watched more war movies in the last couple years doing this podcast than you did in all your whole life.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And you've been giving them mostly good reviews. So we're going to see if the trend continues. Now, we were supposed to have a guest here. Evan was supposed to be joining us from Pop Culture, our intern from Pop Culture 33, but he couldn't make it just because of the time we recorded. He's a big history buff, so he really wanted to be on this one. Now, I will say, this is one of the movies that is based on the American Revolutionary War. So this is when we fought the British for our independence and freedom and all that kind of stuff. Not a war that I feel like, I don't even know any other Revolutionary War movies. I'm sure they exist. Alex, I'll be honest. I watch more war movies than you, but I don't see all of them. So I don't know I know there's like a lot of Civil War movies and a lot of World War II movies, but Revolutionary War, not popular for movie making. So we were going to have Evan, but I will say I did read a quote from Mel Gibson because I was like, you know what? How, you know, is this like a true story? Because, you know, it's based on a real war. This is what Mel Gibson said about this movie. So we'll keep this in mind when we're reviewing it. Mel Gibson said, "This is not historically accurate. In the broad strokes, yes, but on other levels, it is sheer fantasy." So this story we're watching here, not based on real life. However, the production, everything, I believe they went for accuracy. So the way the war is fought, the outfits, the locations, some of the people were like real people or based on real people. But the story we watch, totally fake, totally fiction, not a real guy. So keep that in mind.
I kind of figured some of the stuff was off.
Same.
Like, you know, like the lead Mel Gibson versus Jason Isaacs character, right? Like, I was like, there's no way they're going to focus on these two. But yes. It's okay. I mean, I can't wait to talk about it, but it's okay. Good little tidbit.
Yeah, this is a good tidbit. Yeah. This is more in the line, if you've never seen it, of like something like Inglourious Basterds, in the sense of World War II is real, but none of the stuff that happened. And sure, some of these battles may have happened, but like the way they went down, probably different. So we're going to go ahead and give you some Rotten Tomato scores, and we're going to jump right into it because I love a good first time watch, especially when neither of us have seen it. The Patriot 2000. This has a 62% critic score, lower than I thought it was going to be. Because again, I checked these scores after I watched the movie just to see if what I watched matches up. And I thought that was kind of low. Audience score is 81. So much higher with the audience scores. And this, of course, directed by our boy, an action movie guy. If there was a director, Mount Rushmore, I don't think he'd be on it, but he'd be like waiting in line. Our boy, Roland Emmerich, the disaster king himself, directed this. So Alex, are you surprised by these scores?
Brother, I am very surprised with these scores. This movie, I'm going to be honest, when you see this movie and you finished it, I know you look at these Rotten Tomato scores. I know you were looking at somewhere around an 80 and above, right? Like seeing a 62 for critics is weird. Whereas the audience gave it an 81. So there's something off on that for me.
I thought these might be flip-flopped, if anything.
Yeah.
Like I thought the critics would be 80, but you know, maybe they just hate Roland Emmerich. They're like, this guy, he makes too much popcorn movies and I need more seriousness with my wars.
Isn't that the same problem that we had with 13 Hours with Michael Bay?
Oh yeah.
Right? Like that was super low, but the audience was super high, but then the movie looks so amazing. Like it's just weird.
You're very right. This is like the 13 Hours of the Revolutionary War. Oh man. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? Who cares what they said? You guys are listening to this because you care what we have to say about it. So let's get right into it. Our man, Mel Gibson, playing Benjamin Martin. He is freaking ghost they call him the ghost throughout the whole movie. Take it away. What did you think?
All right. So for those of you out there and you guys got the 4K or you got the extended cut, we're not doing the extended cut version of this film. Now, the extended cut gives you an additional, I think, 15 scenes. So the original cut was 2 hours and 38 minutes and the extended cut is 2 hours and 47 minutes.
Okay.
So
a little bit longer.
They give you extra stuff. So we didn't tackle the extended cut of the film. We did the theatrical version. So with that said, Mel Gibson, loved the character. Character was really good. He's a father figure that fought in the war, right? Very strong on his beliefs in patriotism, right? He helps the Patriots in the beginning of the film. He helps them out and whatever. And then this one incident, tragedy that happens made my man go back into war.
Yes.
And pretty much, you know, this started the whole war. To me, it felt like that is what started the war, was that one tragic scene of them killing his younger son in front of Heath Ledger and everything. So it's really weird. But I will say this, though. Dude, Mel Gibson's top notch in this, brother. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Oscar, we don't do awards and all that stuff here, but I don't know if he was up for it, nominated for an Oscar. But I will say this. He was phenomenal. He was very, he brings, you know, it's crazy because We Are Soldiers with Mel Gibson. And he has this charisma when he plays patriotic characters that is very rare and unique that, I don't know, because I don't see much of it, but to me it's very rare and unique. In whatever time period this guy plays a patriotic character, I feel for him. Like, I'm like, they killed his son. I was like, oh, my man Mel's going back and start destroying motherfuckers. And I was like, let's do it. Like, I would go to battle with Mel Gibson, bro. Like, I would go back in 1917, 92. I would even go with him even now.
This was 1776.
I would go there. Yeah, I would fight with him with muskets and shit and then go up to We Are Soldiers and fight for him. Like, it is really cool. I gave him a 5. He's a very strong lead. I love the scene. I almost teared up, bro, with his daughter that couldn't speak.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she would say, Papa. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you have girls. Yeah, you have daughters.
Yeah, I have two girls. Like, so, yeah, so that's very strong, and especially, like, when we talk about storyline. But that right there for me, I was just like, hands down, I was like, this is amazing. So I gave it a 5.
That was good. She said, I'll say anything you want me to say.
That was good. He was like, I promise I'll be back.
So this was nominated for 3 Academy Awards, but not for acting. Best Cinematography, Best Score, and Best Sound. So technical. All right. I agree with what you said. First of all, if Mel Gibson is in a war movie, watch that movie.
Watch that movie.
Because Braveheart, that's a war movie.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
We Were Soldiers, that's a war movie. Really enjoyed that one a lot. And this one, a war movie. He's great in it. He is great. He gives a great performance. I agree with you. He plays a character who's believable. He was like in the, you know, he was a military guy, fought in the other war, and then he doesn't want to fight anymore. He's like, I'm old. I got all these kids. He got 7 kids. His wife passed away. I got these kids. I ain't trying to fight. And I love the scene at the beginning when they're in like the little government thing and they're all talking. He's like, look, I believe we could be independent, but I don't want to fight a war for it.
Oh, yeah, he goes, my vote is out.
Count me out. Yeah. And then he's pushed into it when his little young son dies. Great scene. I mean, it's not a great scene that the kid died, but it's a great scene overall. I believed his journey. I believed his performance. Like, I was like, yep. Everything is pitch perfect. Also, he added some humor to it when he could here and there. There's some, and I think maybe that's why the critics didn't like it. Like, this favors entertainment over being very dramatic and serious and maybe super like realistic. Like, there is popcorn-ness to this movie, but it worked for me. I thought Mel Gibson was fantastic. I loved his arc. You're right. The thing with the daughter, great. I like that he ends up with it's his sister-in-law, kind of, but you know, his wife's dead. What's he supposed to do? Just be alone forever? And she's very beautiful. She takes care of the kids. Good for him. He finds love. Most of his kids are alive. He goes through it in this movie, and his performance is great the whole time. 5 out of 5. Fantastic.
Question. Were you laughing at the rocking chair?
Yes. That was so funny.
he broke like 80 of them.
Like, she knew it was going to break. He throws it.
And then it foreshadows like, when he goes and meets the general that he has the rocking chair. He's like, you couldn't get it. He was like, what? Yeah. Does this work? Yeah. Like, I thought stuff like that is fine. It's very, like you said, it's very lighthearted, family friendly war movie. Like, I think that's what it is. It's like a date night.
Until the war movie. Happens, then it's R.
Until the war stuff. Yeah.
R, and I loved it. Yeah. But yeah, I think this is one of those cases where I give the character a 5, but I think the performance is also great. Like, yeah. I think Mel Gibson is great in it. So 5 out of 5. Okay, now, villain. We got, this guy's a bastard. All right, so we got Jason Isaac. He is playing a guy named Tavington. Where is he?
The Red Coats.
Colonel William Tavington, British devil of a, of a person. Yeah. What did you think?
Oh, he's a 5. First of all, we don't see much movies with him in it. And I'm going to be honest with you. But when I do see him in movies, he is one of the greatest actor villains that he could play. He's a very great villain, bro. When whatever villain he is so fucking... I want to punch him in the face if I meet him in real life. Like, I bet he's the nicest Brit dude there is. I bet Jason Isaac is a sweetheart. But I will mop him in the face. Like, dude, you are such a bastard when you play these characters. He's Malfoy's father. Right, yes, in Harry right. Potter.
I hate him in that movie too.
I hate him in that fucking movie. Right? He plays one Captain, I forgot his name, but he played Captain in Star Trek Discovery. He was a main villain in there.
He also played Captain Hook in a Peter Pan movie that came out in 2003. Really? Perfect casting. Okay.
Yeah, I bet he was great. Yeah, he was great. He was in Star Trek Discovery. Like I said, he played one of the, like, he played a good guy, bad guy. And he was so freaking good. I was like, oh my God, this guy's good. Then I get to see him here. And the shit that he pulled off here. First of all, he's the one that started the war. Now, I guess now I see what you're talking about, like the whole fake story, realism, fiction. But from what we're watching, it makes it look like he's Jason Isaac's character is the one that started the war of, you know, everyone rebelling against this guy because all his tactics are so terrible. Like he first of all, he goes to this guy's house. And the minute he says you're going to burn all his shit, you know, if they're traitors, you kill him. And I said, damn, I'm like, this dude is crazy. And I was like, I love it. So you need to have that guy that you hate so much that you want Mel Gibson to just get back and whoop his ass. And I did. And I felt it when he killed the youngest son and he gave him the Rocky IV look holding him. I said, oh, I'm loving this thing right now. I loved it. When he burned the church down with my man's wife, I said, this movie is excellent. I was like, this is the greatest movie I think I ever seen. But to be really honest with you, in terms of villain, he gave you every checklist that I love in a villain. He is ruthless. He doesn't give a fuck. He will break command, especially when they're about to do the war scene. He was just like, and then what are you doing? Because he wanted to go against Mel, which again is fictional, but they did it. I think he checked everything off for me, man. And he was in this movie from beginning to end. There's some scenes that is mostly Mel Gibson, Heath Ledger running throughout, but he is focal point also of this movie. So that was the cherry on top. I gave him a 5, brother. He's a 5.
You know, I always love when we watch a movie and I could finally give a villain a 5. You know, I give out the least amount of villain 5s, I think, because... Yeah. You really gotta be bad and you gotta be memorable. And even though I've never seen this, this is now a memorable villain for me. I thought, I echo everything you said. Jason Isaac, love him. Jason Isaacs, I love him as an actor. Everything I see him in, I like him in, but he's a great bad guy. He's got like a bad guy face and a bad guy voice. And but he's great. He's always great. So yeah, you know, the British are essentially the villain of the movie because the Americans are trying to get, you know, their independence and these guys want to pay your taxes and do all this stuff. And he right away starts it by just killing civilians. He's killing kids, women. Yeah, he don't care. The church scene. That's one of the most evil. It's like these people. He's like, get them all in there. Answer the question. I'll forgive you. And then when the guy does it, he's like, that's between you and your God. I said, what? This guy is the devil. He burns a church down full of people. They lock all the windows. I'm like, oh my gosh, evil. Then he kills 2 of Mel Gibson's kids. 2. He kills the young one. Heath Ledger comes and I was like, oh, he's going to get revenge. And then he dies too. And I'm like, oh my God, Mel Gibson's going to cut this guy's head off. He's going to chop his head off. And the reason too, that he is an automatic 5 for me, on top of having the personality, the charisma, the voice, the face, like the everything he does in the story, evil. He fights one-on-one He's like, I'm here, bro. Like, I'm not. He's a general in the military. He wants to fight you. He wants to kill you. You're right. The scene where they're on the horses and Tom Wilkinson, another great actor, by the way.
Great
in this movie as well. He's like, what are they doing? Like, I did not give the order for, what is this idiot? He wants to kill him so bad that he's like, we're just gonna go in on the horses. I don't care. And I love it. He had Mel in a position where he was gonna kill him too, but he didn't. So this is where it gets very Hollywood, very, and I think we'll talk about more in the storyline, but that's where it gets very popcorn movie. But even still, a 5 out of 5. I mean, this is a great villain. When we could watch a movie where there's a villain who's just amazing and fantastic, and here he is, Jason Isaacs, just came, especially these annoying Lord of the Rings movies that should have had this kind of villain in it.
Yeah.
They don't. Patriot, great villain, great hero. Okay, let's get to the action scenes. That's what we're here for. What did you think?
Yeah. Okay, so this movie doesn't necessarily have much action. Like, it does. It does. It gives you enough to guide the story, but I mean, I'll tell you this, brother. Roman Emmerich gives you the right amount of seasoning action in this story. Like the beginning with killing the younger son. Then you fast forward to like Mel Gibson saving Heath Ledger with the axe. Oh, dude, I love that scene. He tells the little kids, shoot small, shoot accurate.
That's one of the best scenes.
Yeah, I was like, this is dope. Then from there, he becomes the ghost that is like, everyone knows who it is, but they don't want to say nothing. And I was like, yo, this is actually really good. Then, of course, you get the big battle at the end, which again, was shot very well. It was very practical. No CGI. No CGI.
Not a lot of CGI in this.
No. Yeah, it was more practical. I liked it. I think even the fight between Mel Gibson and Jason, which everybody wanted that battle between those two. Mel Gibson was losing. And I was like, oh no, is he going to die in this movie? Yo, dude, I was really invested. I was like, please don't die. I was like, out of all this shit, don't die to me, man. And then he does the little, he hit him with his own sneak attack. Like, he's about to swing, turns around, stabs him, and they did the awesome in the throat for boys.
With the bayonet.
And I said this. right in his throat. Yeah. He was like,
I like that.
You know, he talked about his kids. And I was like, yo, this is really, really well done. And even the big moment, right? Him grabbing the U.S. flag and he's running. He's like, no! And he's taking it and all the men is going crazy. One of the black characters that he was like, if he does this, he has two more months.
Oh, the guy who's trying to become free. He was a slave.
Yeah. And he saves one of the guys that was making fun of him because he can't read and all that. I liked it. I thought the action scene served a very well purpose of this film of killing the young kids. Killing the young kids, killing his wife, killing Heath Ledger's character. Even that scene was dope because Heath Ledger did some dope scenes in that. You know, he younger version of him. Very great actor. I never seen a younger Heath Ledger film. So to me, this is like my first amazing actor. I gotta say, I gave it a 5. It's a 5, man. Yeah. Beginning to end action.
I agree. It's not like action nonstop, but there's two. So I was like, okay, the first scene happened. Like the scene, the Mel Gibson scene went in the woods. I love that scene where he tells the kid. Yeah. What he tells the kid is aim small, miss small. So he tells the kid that. And the kid's name Nathan, by the way. Shout out to my brother, Nathan. I love that scene. And he's like, you know, when your brother shoots, you reload the other gun. Because they have the two guns. So constantly he's shooting one and then the brother's reloading the other one and shoot. Amazing. Then he's shooting at them. He's hiding behind the tree. Then he runs down. He's a one-man wrecking crew. He kills 20. Him and the boys kill 20 guys. And I'm like, great scene, but we don't give action a 5 based on one scene. But this is a great start. Where the 5 came for me was the moment I saw, this is a part that is like an automatic 5. These guys are doing the battle, right? And this is not the most exciting style of war because they could only shoot one shot at a time. They gotta shoot it, put the gun, put the pellet, do this. Like, you know, it's like, come on. And there's some hand to hand, but it's, you know, it's all very sloppy and messy and people going, ugh. But there's a part where they're shooting cannonballs and there's a cannonball that bounces off the floor and just knocks a dude's head clean off. And I said, 5, 5. It literally bounces and it goes right at the camera. And then the camera cuts to a side shot and this dude's head just goes gone, blood everywhere. And then it happens again later and it shoots the dude's legs off. Like his legs just get blown away. And I was like, you know what? This is R-rated, bloody, epic, big scale. Not a lot of CGI. The cannonballs, that was the CGI pretty much. Everything else, it was men running around, horses running around in big fields, you know, old school war. And I thought it was a very, very, very well executed. So I gave it a 5 as well. If this had been PG-13 and it was toned down, I don't know if I feel the same way. But like seeing Mel Gibson stab that dude like a million times and the blood get all over him, oh, yeah. I was like, I love this. This is what I need. So it was brutal, the right amount of brutal and epic. So I gave it a 5.2. All right, let's see what happens here. Let's go to storyline. What did you think?
All right. So for me, when it comes to storyline, and in terms of this type of movie, is it enjoyable? One, does it make sense for me? Two, three, do I go into this journey with this character? Am I emotionally affected with his decisions or something tragic that happens to these characters? And I will say is yes. This script to me is perfect. And I know people are going to be like, oh, no way, whatever. Yes, it is. And I'll tell you why. Fact is, Nate just brought it up saying that it's a fictional to a real life war. It's one of the hardest things to put on paper to make it lovable. Like even enjoyable to watch, because sometimes it can just be a hit or miss. This one, I think, had the perfect blend of sense of humor to tragedy to whatever happens in the actual history facts of war. What happened? I enjoyed the journey. I was really emotionally attached to Mel Gibson's character, and I guess it's because that's his brilliance of his acting skills, but I really enjoyed it from the minute the camera was on. I liked it. I love this movie, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm picking this shit up on 4K. I'm definitely I'm buying this movie. I rented it last night for $3.99 and I was like, I'm buying it. It's a very watchable movie. Like, it's weird to say, because I'm not into like war movies that are like, I want to put this over and over again. But I really enjoy this movie. The watch is awesome. I think even with the kids, I think even that stuff was fun. When they went to try to burn down the house and try to take his own kids, I was like, holy shit, like, get away from them. Like, and you know, Heath Ledger came to save them and all that. I liked it. I was very invested. And it's very hard nowadays to be invested into these war movies and even old, you know, history where, unless you're a buff of history, you might want to rewatch. Or if you don't give a shit about war, you're not going to watch it. And honestly, I really enjoyed it for the cinema part of it, of the film. And I liked it. I gave it a 5. I thought this was perfect.
Very well said. I can't argue with that. I will say the only negatives I have for this on a story and script level is it does rely on melodrama a bit, which, you know, like, his kids die. One of his kids die, and then the other kid dies. And, you know, it's like they really pile it on a little bit. They try to get, like you said, the scene with the daughter. Like, they're really trying to pull those tears out of people. You know what I mean? Which, it's not my favorite thing, but it's minimal. The movie's almost 3 hours long.
Yeah.
It flies by the way. Unlike Lord of the Rings, I don't feel like I was watching this movie for 3 hours. It flew right by. So that's a testament to the film. And also, I think the fact that they went for entertainment over like something like Saving Private Ryan, where they are telling a story and it is set during World War II, but that just goes for straight like kind of gritty realism. Whereas here they went for realism in ways, but then like Mel said himself, they went almost for like fantasy and a lot of others. Like, this is way over the top. And I think that's the Roland Emmerich kind of factor to it, where these are the movies he makes. They're over the top. Independence Day is over the top. The Day After Tomorrow, the 2012, Godzilla. Like, this is what he makes. He makes popcorn spectacle movies, right? Some better than others. And so I'd say minor negatives there, but I agree with you. I think I was invested in the characters. I was invested in the journey for Mel Gibson. I even like the side characters, like Chris Cooper's character that was like his buddy. Guy, oh, that was sad too. When the guy finds his family all dead and he shoots himself.
Oh, like, that was sad.
Yeah. So those are the kind of things I think the 62 comes from critics, because I don't think critics like that sort of thing where it's like, oh, it's like manipulative. Like, they're having all these sad parts just to, I get it. I do get it in that regard. I'm not a film critic, so it doesn't bother me that much. So I agree with you. I thought the story was great. Obviously, it's a part of history, the Revolutionary War, and they just told a fictional story within a real thing. I think they nailed it. I gave it a 5 as well. I really didn't have any, like I said, two minor problems, but nothing that was going to make me lower the score. So, okay, overall.
All right, well, I'm going to add the cherry on top. I gave it a 5. I think this is a perfect, perfect film. This week, I loved it. I love the score of this movie. Roland Emmerich shocked me, because sometimes some of the movies he does is gaga.
Universal Soldier. And
yeah, he did Universal Soldier. This is like light years compared to like that stuff. But yeah, like some stuff he does is hit or miss with me. This one has to be top, bro. This has to be one of his top films has to be. I mean, I know he's known for disaster movies and all this, but in his entire filmography, this has to be his one of his top three or top five films in his filmography in terms of, I mean, I know he has Independence Day, which is his number one.
I agree.
To everybody, but this has to be like overall, like remember when Mel Gibson, remember with Michael Bay, we were like his entire work of film. And I think 13 Hours is like his best he ever did. Like he finally found the right movie for him, like in terms of using his explosions and storytelling at his finest. To me, that's like his, to me, that's my number one Michael Bay movie. This one, I think it's up there with Independence Day for me. This is a very well done movie. I enjoyed it. Like I said, Mel Gibson gives a hell of a performance that I like. And Jason Isaacs is dope as a villain. So with that said, yeah, I give it a, oh, even when they got the letter at the end.
Yeah.
When he's reading it, he's like, I'm making my promise. And you see the little girl all happy. So yeah, I thought that was awesome. So yeah, I give it a 5.
Yeah. Okay. So Roland Emmerich, really quick, filmography. Yeah. Hit or miss, because you have, there's a lot of good. There's a lot of entertaining, I should say. Some of it, even when it's not great, like this is not cinema, but they're fun movies. So Universal Soldier, Stargate, which we do have coming later down the line. Independence Day, which we already did. Godzilla 98, which we will be doing. Then this. Then you have The Day After Tomorrow, 10,000 BC, 2012. Anonymous, which I didn't really like that movie. White House Down, which we will be doing.
Never seen that. Okay.
Stonewall, which that's like a drama. And then you have Independence Day, Resurgence, Midway, and Moonfall. So we've done a good number of his movies already. The only movie he did sequels was Independence Day. Everything else he does is like one time and he's done with it. I like him as a director. I've always liked him though. But he makes either crap, watchable crap, or like legit like good movie. He tends to stay away from the upper echelon. This is probably his best movie in the sense of, I mean, it was nominated for 3 Oscars. It's a little more of a prestigious type movie, but the popcorn tendencies is what keeps it right in his like wheelhouse. You know what I mean? So I think he did a great job. Yeah, overall, I think this is a great movie. I had never seen it. I bought it. I bought it on 4K on Mercari because someone had it with a Denzel movie called Philadelphia, and they were selling them like together. And I was like, I love Philadelphia. I've never seen that. I'll take it. I'm glad I literally never watched it until this. It looks amazing in 4K, by the way. So if you're going to buy it, do it. It's a
Does
Sony.
It come with the extended cut?
The extended cut is on the Blu-ray.
Oh,
it's one of those. So on the 4K, it's just the theatrical. Yeah. But it looks incredible. It's a Sony release, so you already know. They do a good job with their 4K. So anyway, all that aside, great movie. I really liked it. Had a good time watching it. I was both entertained and invested in it. Sure, I did not feel... There was times where it felt like I was watching a movie that I would have watched in high school, like in like history class or something. To me, it doesn't quite reach the upper echelon of these kind of movies. Like, like Last of the Mohicans is one of my favorite of like the old, like that's the French and Indian War. Like that has like, it's a little more serious tonally. It has a love story. This doesn't really have like a big love story or anything, like him and the aunt, but not really, you know what I mean? But I do think it's like probably in the very next tier as far as these historical movie goes. And I think the fact that they didn't go for overly telling like a real life story, maybe that keeps it. I don't know. But I still think it's a great entertaining. This is the popcorn version of one of these type of movies. So I didn't really have any problem in that regard. You know what? I will give it a 5 as well, just because I think it executes what it's trying to execute perfectly. So even though I'm giving it a 5, I would still rank other historical war movies ahead of it, but I do think it's a fantastic entry to it. And especially if you don't like super realistic, kind of more slower paced, this is probably like the historical war movie to watch for you. So, and Mel Gibson's amazing in it. And Jason Isaacs. Just watch for that guy. He's as good or better, honestly, than Mel Gibson. He was fantastic. All right. So, Alex, what is your... Well, we had the same total points, but what is it?
I don't know. We're starting Mel Gibson month on the right foot. Because I think Greta Gringo, I enjoyed that a lot. This one... I'm really shocked how this one became a perfect score of a 25 out of a 25. So yeah.
I'll be honest, when I put it in, I didn't think that was gonna happen. I didn't. I was like, okay, Mel Gibson, he's holding a flag. I do like him a lot, but I knew it was Roland Emmerich. So I was like, I don't think this is gonna be a 5 out of 5, but I bet you I have a good time. Sure enough, I really thought it's a great movie. I don't really have any issues with it. So we both have a 25. All right. Let's see if we could keep it going. Now, next week we're starting a new franchise. We'll be doing The Hobbit franchise, An Unexpected Journey. I believe that is the name of the first one. Mm-hmm. And then that's the one we're gonna be starting off with. And then continuing Mel Month, we'll see. I bet you this is a movie you've never seen. because I never seen it. We're doing a little movie called Bird on a Wire. Have you ever seen Bird on a Wire?
I heard of it. And the funny thing is, on Netflix, it says leaving soon. Bird on a Wire.
Get it in before it.
Yeah, before I might get it before buying $3.99. But yeah, I heard of it. I don't know what the film is about. I know he's in the film, though. But yeah.
Yeah, so let's see. It is Mel Gibson and it is Goldie Hawn. I know that. No Golden Pond is in it. Okay, Bird on a Wire, 1990. So we're going back to the 90s. It is an action comedy.
Mel Gibson plays Rick Jarman. He is put in a witness protection after he helps the FBI bust a drug dealer, Eugene Sorson, which is played by David Carradine. 15 years later, he is living with a new identity as a gas station attendee in Detroit when an old flame named Marilyn, which is Goldie Hawn, stopped by at the gas station. So
he sounds like it could be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be what he looks like. Riggs, though.
Yeah, and he has a gun like this on the cover.
Yeah,
I don't know. It sounds like we could be in for a good time. I mean, 1990, Mel Gibson and Goldie Hawn, action comedy. We don't do a ton of those. We could be in for
one of our favorite movie scorers made this soundtrack.
Oh, who did it?
Hans Zimmer.
Oh, and that's a 90s Hans Zimmer. So it's going to have that 90s Hans Zimmer got a weird sound. Oh, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. I ain't never seen this movie, but I was like, we got to do it because this cover is hilarious with his mullet and his gun.
I will say, look, All I will say is that if you haven't already seen Birds on a Wire, then you should do so. If you get the chance, it is a movie with equal parts of action and good pacing mixed with great comedy and dialogue.
Okay. You know what?
That's a hit right there.
Sounds like
I guess.
Ringing endorsement. By the way, no, we don't normally do it, but let's just wrap it up with this. $20 million budget. Guess what? Made $138 million. So it must be pretty good. That's okay. 1990 money. Might be pretty
All
good.
All right. All right, so there you have it, guys. We have Bird on the Wire, The Hobbit, Unexpected Journey next week for you guys. Other than that, you guys can follow Nate over on Instagram at Netflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews every other week on a Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Nate goes live with his friends on his Netflix Reviews channel on Instagram. You guys could follow AMG Podcast on Geeks and Flicks Instagram page, or our official website, www.geeksandflicks.com, or our AMG Podcast on YouTube. We're there now also. So with that said, he is your host,
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Ash Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.